This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
What approved? So if you add those together, some three-quarters of Republicans approve, perhaps not surprisingly, but the disapproved number also interesting. 14% strongly disapprove, 7% somewhat disapprove. So clearly there's an opening there for a non-Trump candidate. But Aaron, take a look at these numbers for President Biden. Republican primary voters were asked if they believed he legitimately won in 2020. 6 in 10 Republicans say he did not. 32% say he did. So that, of course, sets the table for the conversation going on in the months ahead to November. Aaron, the reason this race is so important, the Senate majority hinges on 2 seats, on only one if the president's party is still in power here. So that's why this race will be one to keep an eye on until November, Aaron.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff Zeleny. Basil Smichel, former chief of the New York Democratic Party out front, and Harry Enten, our data guru. Harry, those numbers on these exit polls, I suppose we should no longer be surprised. No. What do you say? Shocked, but not surprised.
Yes.
About the GOP 63% saying Biden is not the legitimately elected. But it is incredible.
Yeah. I don't think we can be surprised anymore, but we can still shake our heads that about 2/3 of the Republican electorate, depending on which primary state you're jumping to, believe something that's a fugazi, that's fake. We all know that Biden legitimately won that election, yet 2/3 of Republicans believe otherwise, depending, again, on the state you're looking at. And that just shows the stranglehold that Donald Trump has over the Republican Party. There's still maybe about 1/4 of that Republican Party that's willing to go the other way, that is that strongly or somewhat disapproved that Jeff was pointing out. But the fact is they are a minority. The majority of the party is firmly in Trump's pocket.
And I wish we had a billion of you, not the people that we have in Washington, including the vast majority of those supposedly on our side. But I guess
that's been disheartening how many Republicans in the House have not seized the opportunity they got in 2022. But let me just explain to your viewers and listeners what's at stake here. And the broad stroke here is, look, men and women of America throughout our history have shed blood, lost their lives for the defense of this country, defense of what we stand for, defense of our values, defense of the Constitution. And for me, it's a much smaller sacrifice to be willing to go to prison, as I now have been ordered to do, to defend what is really one of the most important principles of the Constitution, which is the constitutional separation of powers. My hope and my mission here is that U.S. versus Peter Navarro will be, in fact, a landmark constitutional case. I believe it is, as it works its way through the appeals courts, on the constitutional separation of powers, on whether a partisan weaponized Congress can attack a president with subpoena power.
Yep.
And take away something that, Don, it goes back to the days of George Washington and the famous Jay Treaty, when George Washington, our first president, basically laid down the law on what's called executive privilege. And why is that important? You know, privilege.
That is Don Jr.'s incredible interview for about an hour with Peter Navarro the other day. Don Jr. joins me. It's Thursday, 21 March, Year of Our Lord, 2024. We're going to get into a day with nothing but heavy hitter guests. Don Jr., so yesterday, Tale of Two Cities. Yep. In the Imperial Capital, the Republican-controlled House had overwhelming evidence of the crimes of the Biden family, and specifically Joe Biden, and taking money from the Chinese Communist Party, and also about Ukraine, but definitely the Chinese Communist Party, black letter. The Republicans, and they had Gates and Byron Donald, some great people hammering Jordan, but they didn't even sit in for the whole thing. The Democrats sit there unified and try to make a travesty out of it. In New York City, we have something that has not been seen in the Western world since the Moscow show trials of the 1930s, where they're just sitting there, these show trials, and then taking entrepreneurs' businesses to liquidate them, to take the cash and pay the state. Can you compare and contrast what is happening in Washington, D.C. with the Biden crime family versus what's happening in New York on something that, to me, is shocking, and it seems like it gets worse every day, sir?
Well, it does get worse. I mean, you have like liberal Columbia Law University professors that are like, whoa, what's going on here? This is too far. Slow down. You have the most clear evidence, arguably perhaps ever presented, about the Biden family and their compromised position as it pertains to our national security. No one can still articulate, you know, why are the Chinese giving Hunter Biden $1 billion? I mean, they don't exactly make investments with crackheads. That's not part of their business model, Steve, of course, unless you're buying someone off, which is, of course, what was happening. You have clear evidence and they keep pretending they don't have it. It's lunacy. And yet for 5 years, Russia, Russia, Russia was the gospel. That was the gospel of the Lord. There was no evidence, but it didn't matter. You didn't need anything. We were somehow amazingly enough compromised by Russia. Apparently my father needed the money or something like that. I'm not sure. It just shows you the double standard that you would try to seize assets for a, I guess, no one's articulated yet who the victim was. But that doesn't matter because these are show trials. These are designed not just to hurt Donald Trump, but to make sure you put a marker out there, Steve, that no one in the future ever decides to go against the swamp, go against the Democrat Party, because they will come after you. They will come after you with all of their might. And in these blue states, that's going to go unchecked. The law, facts, none of that means anything. You know, like I said, the liberals that are like, well, we don't understand who's the victim. How is this happening? How is it going on? It doesn't matter. It's still happening. That's why, you know, even the Florida grand jury was done in Washington, D.C., because the Democrats are picking and choosing the places where no one could possibly get a fair trial. We have no equal justice under our law. The democracy, so to speak, is totally compromised. And you know, honestly, the Republic is at risk if this continues, because there is no stopping the Democrats. They've shown that they are willing to do anything to remain in power, to control, to subvert the democracy they claim that they're defending each and every day.
As you know, the suppression on social media, I mean, we don't need to get into the details of it, but you know how the techno-feudalism we live under about the cancel culture. But with all that, Harry Enten, CNN's pollster, saying, hey, two-thirds and oftentimes 75% of the Republican Party, and I think it's now 40% of the American people, and I think in independents is almost 50%, believe Joe Biden's illegitimate. What
of
do you make?
I mean,
Lincoln, even when we fought a civil war, never questioned legitimate. Go ahead. Tell me what. Is Joe Biden illegitimate president of the United States?
He can't get through a sentence. He can't do anything. They hid him in a basement. They weaponized everything they possibly could to rig an election, to put a puppet in charge. And make no mistake, Steve, I think Joe's been very effective for the radical Democrats, the people who are actually in charge, because he'll sign anything. Obama would have loved to have done so many of the things that Joe Biden is doing, whether it's the open borders or just basically the America Last policies that are destroying our economy and our hegemony across the world. He'd have done that, but he was not willing to risk his legacy, his future, you know, the $20 million home on Martha's Vineyard and the $1 million speaking fees. He wouldn't do that, but they're more than happy to throw Joe Biden under the bus, knowing that this is a shell of a man, a shell of a human. He's simply a puppet doing the bidding of whoever the radicals that are in charge. Of course it was rigged. Does anyone actually believe? Can someone tell me honestly with a straight face that Joe Biden, he lost 18 of 19 bellwethers, but magically, Steve, magically way overperformed Barack Obama in 2008 in Detroit, Atlanta, Philadelphia? You know, I mean, does anyone actually believe that that happened? I mean, you know, if you do, you're an imbecile.
Okay, I'm going to get to the book, Winning Team Publishing, and the new MAGA deal in a second, but I got to ask you right now, what should this audience, what should the Warren Posse, MAGA, the Deplorables, America First, what is the number one thing we should do to rally behind your dad?
Listen, I think we do have to unify. We have to bring back common sense to these things. We have to be unafraid of speaking out. I mean, you know, you showed the interview with Peter Navarro. I mean, Peter Navarro is going to jail for 4 years because he stood on principle about executive privilege, right? He's still in appeal, but that doesn't matter. The Bolsheviks will lock you up even if you're on appeal rather than waiting because they're trying to teach us all a lesson. If you haven't seen that interview, it's pretty amazing. And when you have a patriot like Peter out there doing that, I mean, he's not even talking about why he's going to jail. He's like, no, these are what we, he, that he's willing to go to jail on these principles is such an amazing thing to see. It's sad, but it's so powerful to watch. Like, he's not talking about jail. He's talking about fighting for what's left of our country, because that is on the table this election. That, Steve, is totally at risk. You know, and it's amazing. I mean, he's talking about the book, which is, you know, the new MAGA deal. And, you know, the principles for the 2024 Trump presidency. And, you know, meanwhile, they're throwing him in jail for 5 months. He reported on Tuesday, and he's still worried about fighting for the Republic. I mean, that's the kind of mentality we need everyone in America to have at this point. Otherwise, it's gone.
I got to give a hat tip to you and the team, management team over at Winning Team Publishing, to think of this, because this question gets asked a lot, and they pulled a lot of people, contributors on this show, together to actually walk through and said, hey, when you want to see what President Trump's focus on, when you take the rally speeches and actually write it down into what policy is, this is the drive of President Trump. Tell me about New MAGA deal, and where do people get it, how they get over to Winning Team Publishing?
Yeah, you can get it at newmagadeal.com. You can get it at 45 books, and it's Peter's book. So Peter, you know, for those who don't know, he was in charge of our China policy, probably another reason why the swamp wants to lock him up and try to take him out. He was the one that was, you know, hard on China, held them to task. I mean, you and him share something in common, that you're some of the people that they've weaponized against you. We all have that in common, since they wanted to try me for treason, a crime punishable by death. But, you know, Peter was working on this book for a while. It's the principles, basically, of the 2024 policy platform. You know, these things go down. They've been going after him for a while. His publisher drops him because, of course, no one's going to let you have actual free speech in America. So, you know, Sergio and myself, who have a publishing company doing this, we said, hey, we will pick up that book. We will get this message out there. So, again, you can get it at newmagadeal.com or 45books.com. But that's what's going on right now. You know, the people screeching about fascism are acting awfully a lot like the fascists themselves. They're, you know, when they scream about democracy and such, Steve, it's such a soundbite. It's like they say it and then they laugh to themselves like, ha ha, silly people, what's going on? You know, the other side, they're jailing their political opposition right now. They're not just, whether it's us, whether it's the J6ers, what, just watch what's going on. Our republic is at stake. And that was what was so incredible about that interview with Peter. I'm talking about the jail and the weaponization. He's like, and this is what we have to do for 2024. And this is how we win. And these are the policies that'll work. I'm like, Peter, you're going to jail tomorrow. And he's still just focused on winning. You know, that's, to me, just the quintessential patriot. It's an amazing thing, and you should check out the book. And he also goes through some of the other great patriots, the people that weren't the sellouts, you know, a chapter on each one of them for what needs to be done in their specific field of expertise, whether it's Rick Grenell or Robert Lighthizer or these guys. You know, he breaks through, you know, what we need to be doing in terms of policy to get our country back, to put America first again. And it's a really interesting read.
We got 30 seconds. I know you're a New York City guy. Talk to me about your beloved New York City. What's going to happen to it?
Man, it looks like, you know, it has fallen. I mean, I was out in Colorado with my daughter on spring break and, you know, talking to all these people, New Yorkers, and they're like, hey, we don't feel safe anymore. Women who used to commute into the city by themselves these days, I mean, they're pooling together because they're afraid to ride the subways or the trains or go through Grand Central, you know, station these days. What's going on in New York is insane. Our subways have to be guarded by the National Guard, and yet our border is wide open to let in the worst criminals in the history of the world into the country with open arms. What's going on in America right now is truly dystopian, Steve. I mean, I wake up every day thinking that, like, I must be the star of the Truman Show, that no one could seriously allow this kind of fall to happen so quickly. I'm waiting for a freaking camera to fall out of the ceiling and be, you know, you're being punked. That's how bad it is.
Don Jr., thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out, higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
If you want to support Dr. Navarro, who's in prison for 4 months standing on principle, go to newmagadeal.com. That's over at Winning Team Publishing. Newmagadeal.com. You can get your book, The New MAGA Deal. This gets to all the policies that are going to be put forward in the next Trump administration. Second term, third victory. Also, Warpath Coffee. Get jacked up. It's going to be a long day today. A couple hours this morning, a couple hours this afternoon. We got Congressman Chip Roy on here to talk about the work before us. So go to warpath.coffee. Promo code Bannon. Get the dark roast. Navy SEALs, Tej Gill and the team are partners in this. Mild roasts are fine too, but the Mariner's Blend, the dark roast, that'll get you going in the morning, and you're going to need it today. So Congressman Chip Roy, we have an app called Bill Blaster. It has everybody's names on it. There are local offices, all that. The Warren Posse is ready to go to work here. But I got to tell you, it's hard to shock me. I am shocked by what was delivered last night on the text of this bill. Can you explain to people? They say it's $1.2 trillion, but actually when you add it to the entitlements, it's over $7 trillion in spending. This is going to have a $2 trillion deficit. I just don't understand in a rational world how this in a Republican House, they can put this forward. Can you explain it to our audience?
It's total lack of backbone, total lack of leadership, and a total failure by Republican leadership. There's no other way to describe it. This bill is an abomination. I don't even have words for any Republican that votes for this bill. I promise you I will not be going out and supporting any Republican who votes for this bill for any position ever again. It's absolutely unsupportable by anybody who is a self-proclaimed conservative. You just talked about it. It busts the spending caps. It racks up more debt. We're racking up $1 trillion of debt every 100 days. This bill will make that worse. This bill funds the new FBI headquarters after Republicans in the last first half of the omnibus said, oh, don't worry, we were defunding some of the FBI. It's all crap. They now put the money back in to fund the FBI headquarters. We put the money back in to fund the World Health Organization that we fought to claw out of our appropriations bills last year. We continue to fund abortion tourism. We continue to fund transgender surgeries, the Department of Defense. And you and I both care intently about the border. You just had Don Jr. on there, former President Trump. These are people who are serious about securing the border. We know that radical progressive Democrats led by Biden want our borders to be open, to destroy our sovereignty, to pile people into our country, to allow, yes, criminals who act like animals, as the former president said, to kill Americans. Yes, Democrats are doing that. And what's Republicans' response? Give them more money. Continue to fund it. Give Border Patrol even more money under this bill to do what? Process more people. We say, oh, Chip, we're going to add more ICE beds. That will help Donald Trump next January. That's bogus. It increases it from 34,000 to 42,000 ICE beds. Guess what? President Trump at his peak, you might remember this, had, I think, 57,000 ICE beds. You know why? Because he was actually enforcing the dang law. This is an embarrassment. Today, everybody listening to this show, light up your congressmen and congresswomen. Light them up. Light up your senators. Tell them the truth, that they are risking the House majority if they vote for this bill. A vote for this bill is a vote against America. A vote for this bill is a vote for
the mass parole and release of criminals that are killing Americans, any Republican who votes for this bill owns the murders, the rapes, and the assaults by the people that are being released into our country. There is no defense of it, period.
Chip, here's what I don't understand. We fought back in January 2023 to get these rules on single subject appropriations to finally get our the process to get your hand around the spending. This audience back last summer was staying up all night watching these incredible fights, amendments, fights, and really looked like democracy at work. Was that work all performative? Because everybody's asked me this morning and said, Steve, it looks like none of the things we fought for last summer that were we thought approved at the time, that all got behind closed doors. The swamp just took it all out.
Yeah, I mean, look, none of that was performative. We worked. I mean, I can tell you, my staff, the good people here in the Freedom Caucus and others, and some good guys over in the Senate, guys like Mike Lee and Rick Scott and Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson, all of us that would gather and visit, we were working hard at getting those amendments. We processed 1,100 amendments. We fought to get great provisions, to defund a lot of the, you know, climate garbage that's killing our economy, to defund a lot of the woke stuff. I can go through the list. The bottom line is none of that was performative. The problem is, look, we got stuff out of the House. We got good bills passed out of the House. But if your Republican leadership refuses to use leverage to fight for those things, look, you understand deal making. Like, former President Trump understands deal making. You can't get everything you want. None of us would say you can. But dadgummit, we should get at least something significant in the fight. We should use our leverage. And Mike Johnson blew it when he walked away from a continuing resolution that we could have extended through this year to trigger the caps that we had put in place last year, and we would have forced Democrats to the table and then leverage this. The other thing he could have done, pass a CR today that kicks this into May, trigger Thomas Massie's 1% provision, then you force Democrats to the table and say, guys, we're not going to do any of this unless we actually secure the border. But now we're getting yet another promise. Trust me, Chip, we'll secure the border when we do a supplemental on Ukraine funding. Look, most of your audience doesn't want another dollar to go to Ukraine at all. But you and I have had a back and forth about this. I might eat a few dollars of lethal aid to Ukraine if I got actual border security, but they're not going to do that. I've been sold a lie every step of the way that next week we'll do something. It's the swamp in action. What we achieved last year was we showed that conservatism can win when we pass Limit, Save, Grow, HR 2, 7 appropriations bills that drop spending down. We were moving the needle and got policy changes. The swamp has bit back. The defense industrial complex that wants more money for Ukraine, more money for defense. They want to have warrantless searches on Americans. They're biting back. And unfortunately, our Republican leadership is letting them do it. It's wrong. And we're trying to figure out what to do about it.
This bill right here, if passed this week, the border will not be shut down. The border will not be secure, correct?
At all. I mean, it's not even close. In fact, it makes it worse. Tom Homan and Mark Morgan were in yesterday visiting with a bunch of us. This bill will make it worse.
So don't we have the leverage? 80% of the American people, 80% are on our side about securing the border now or not going forward. Why don't we just take a hard stand? If you don't shut the border, this thing does not get passed, and force Biden to the table this weekend to actually secure this border before he gets another penny to fund his government. Why the psychosis about shutting down the government?
The best way I can describe it is the leadership has accepted the premise that we must do this because, one, they're afraid of shutdown. They're afraid we lose politically in a shutdown. I disagree with that. I go back and look at every shutdown fight we've had. 2013 with Ted Cruz and Obamacare, 2019 when President Trump was fighting for the wall. We always gain seats after that because the American people are inspired that we're actually fighting for them. But these guys they run around and they listen to some pollster who comes in and says, but you'll lose if you do a shutdown. The second reason is they're beholden to the defense world. Seriously, they listen to the arguments. People will say, but you don't understand, people will die. If our defense isn't bigger, we're going to lose to China. If we don't give money to Ukraine, Putin will win. And if we don't fund Israel, they're going to die. And if we don't give money to, if we don't continue spying on Americans and we, you know, if we allow a warrant, people will die. And then they believe it. And that's what they vote on. That's it. That defines all of this. A fear of shutdown and the defense industrial complex.
You spoke truth that they never talk about. You were chief of staff, I think, for Cruz at the time, but we worked together, shut the government down in, with Mike Lee in August about Obamacare in August of 2013 and picked up seats. It's always a winner because you have a national platform to present your case. And low-information voters say, hey, well, hang on for a second. These guys are right. They're always demonized. It's Congressman Roy. Once again, what should this audience do today? Because, hey, these folks are looking for a fight, and they're outraged about what they saw last night and this morning. So what should we do?
They should call their members of Congress right now. They should tell them that under no circumstances should they vote for this bill. They should melt the phone down and melt down the phone lines and the emails and the texts and all of that. And I mean that. I mean that today. Call today and make sure every member of Congress feels the pain that they should not vote for this bill. And if we can somehow stall this bill out today, because it's going to take, it's being put up on suspension of the rules, which, by the way, is a travesty. It's being put up with less than 24 hours to read it, which is a travesty. It busts the caps, which is a travesty, funds the FBI headquarters, doesn't secure the border, funds the World Health Organization. I can keep going. Earmarks in it for abortion facilities in the Northeast. Just total abomination. We should oppose it. It takes two-thirds of the House to pass it. So all we need is about a half of Republicans, give or take. It might take a little bit more than that, but you know, three-quarters of Republicans to oppose it. And we can kill it. So we should rise up and say, Mr. Speaker, no deal. Republicans should feel the pain for voting for this bill.
Congressman Roy, social media, because you're putting up stuff all the time. Where can people go? Because now we're going to be in political combat for the next couple of days. Where do they go to get information from you, one of our field commanders?
We are posting everything we can at my official account, Rep. Chip Roy, R-E-P-C-H-I-P-R-O-Y, on Twitter. And then I, on my personal stuff, I put stuff out at Chip Roy TX, C-H-I-P-R-O-Y-T-X. And then you can go, obviously, go to roy.house.gov to see what we're putting out in our official channels.
Congressman, we're to the ramparts. Thank you very much for coming and getting us fired up this morning.
Thanks, Steve. God bless.
Thanks. Well, folks, I'd like to put it any other way, but we got a fighter on our hands. You knew this one was coming. Actually, the bill is actually worse than even I could imagine. They have retraded everything. It's all the woke and weaponizes in there. The spending levels are higher than Pelosi's. I want you to understand that and embrace it. Higher than Pelosi's. Remember, this fight's all a process. I told you, not going to be a wave of magic wand. It's all going to be fine. But we need to do that. We can't wait for President Trump. This will burden President Trump, make his ability to get this economy going. This will hamstring. I'll come back after the break about what to do about this. Go check out right now Birch Gold, birchgold.com/war room. Now more than ever, you need to check it out. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Short commercial break. It's War Day in the War Room. Next. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money in our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, I haven't gotten the story up, but CNBC, one of the lead stories this morning about why gold was hitting all-time highs. And I got to tell you, this deficit in this budget is outrageous. It's going to be over $2 trillion. Mark my words, it's going to be over $2 trillion. And this is why this has got to be fought. It's got to be stopped now. We're going to hamstring. All these people said, oh, well, we need a bigger majority. We need to take the Senate. We need to get President Trump back in. You're going to hamstring President Trump on his economic plan. Get the new MAGA deal. Read it. You see exactly what he's going to do, how he's going to roll it out. You're going to hamstring that plan by passing this budget. This is what we got to fight. And you got to tell people, hey, you vote for this, you're done. You're done with I'm done with you. I don't care what good they've done in the past. This is signal, not noise. A lot of guys get up there in these committees and do this and do that. And, you know, they ask tough questions. When it comes to money and power, they always roll over. And Natalie's going to be on in a little while to talk about yesterday. We're going to do a compare and contrast on this impeachment fiasco, in which most of the Republicans didn't sit there for the entire time. That shows you how much seriousness they put into it. The Democrats were there as a block to make sure that Biden got off. So the CNBC article, that's why I go over to birchgold.com/band and talk to Philip Patrick and the team. They've got a bunch of analysis on the CNBC story, totally unrelated to Birch Gold or to War Room. That's amazing. I'll get it up after the show. There's so much going on this morning. We've crashed the Bill Blaster site, the server. So many people trying to get on. Grace is going to try, is rebooting it right now with our team. So go to Bill Blaster. You know your duty today. It's quite simple. In fact, Chip Roy's got a great piece he just sent me. I'm going to send to Grace and make sure you guys can read that before you even go to your congressman. But you got to hit him with both barrels today. This thing needs to be stopped. It needs to be not brought to breaking the rules just to bring it to the floor. Need to stop that. Need to tell Biden, either shut down the border now or you're going to shut down your government and we'll get in a room over the weekend and you convince us of what you're going to do, executive orders and others, to shut down the border from the invasion. Once you do that, then we can talk about giving you the money to open your government back up. Until then, sorry. And we will win that argument with the American people. Like Chip Roy said, we've won every time the government's been shut down, we've won the argument. Because it gets out into the ether, which never gets out to the low information, low propensity voters. And they sit there and go, hey, I agree with these guys. That has to happen today. Have the courage of your convictions. Polly Pockets Johnson, I mean, this is a humility. And think about what he's trying to sell. Oh, we're going to get to border security when we come back with the Ukraine $60 billion. Screw you, dude. That's not happening. We're not sending another penny over to the Zelensky and the corrupt oligarchs in Ukraine on a war that's over. It's not me saying it's over. It's the parents in Ukraine that won't allow their sons to volunteer for the military or be drafted. The 500,000 troops they need, they can't get. They're the ones saying it's over. Big development today. Kurt Olson joins us. Kurt, you had a filing, I think, late last night on evidence. Walk us through the evidence. You've got the machine guys braced up against the wall. Now it's time to, what's the evidence? What are the receipts you've got that are so compelling it's going to make the Supreme Court, who's had less than zero interest in this to date, take this case up, sir?
Well, Steve, if you recall last week, I said when we filed our petition for writ of certiorari with the Supreme Court to ask them to take the case, I said there were three new pieces of evidence that further showed that the standing of Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham existed and that this case should be brought before and heard on the merits. Those three pieces of evidence were, we could show that the election software Maricopa County used in the 2020 and 2022 elections had been altered. And any representations that Maricopa made that this was EAC certified were false. Secondly, that in 2020 and 2022, Maricopa did not perform logic and accuracy testing before the election, which is designed to see if the machines will tabulate and count the ballots correctly. And in fact, that was an express violation of state law. And third, and most importantly, I think, in terms of the country, we have uncovered that the master cryptographic encryption keys are left unprotected except for the Windows login and in plain text on the database. And what that means, this is like the Enigma machine from World War II, where the Allies solved the cipher codes and could read all the Germans' messages. Now here, you don't even have to decrypt them. They're straight in plain text. And any malicious actor can take control of the entire voting system, create a fake election, do whatever you want, and it's nearly undetectable. So what we introduced last night is a motion for expedited consideration of that. And we attached three of our expert declarations. And in those declarations, you get a peek inside the machines because there are actual screenshots of the log files and the database table that shows where the encryption keys is. We have redacted some of the encryption keys because they're in plain text. And those encryption keys, it's phenomenal. You can actually take them and apply them and decrypt the passwords on the machines. You can get into the configuration files. You can do anything you want. You can intercept communications and de-encrypt those communications, put your own results on there, re-encrypt them as the machine will recognize you as a certified user, and create your own fake election and put it back on the EMS. It violates every basic rule of cybersecurity, including what are called federal information processing standards, which Dominion puts in its contract that its encryption level complies with. So this is extraordinary. And this, again, the expert declarations, it's a peek inside the machines. If anybody can go to the website where it's posted, it's called state-of-denial.com. Read those expert declarations. You'll see screenshots of the log files, of the databases, and a very, very interesting insight into what's going on inside these machines.
Okay, so I want everybody, we've got the finally, we'll put it out. There's also a bunch of summaries being done. You've got this website. Here's a question. There's these defamation suits, Fox wrote an $800 million check, plus they spent tens of millions of dollars on lawyers. You've got Newsmax. You've got other people. They've got very smart lawyers. Why have no other investigative teams or lawyers found this, which you would think would be enough to get them past Fox writing an $800 million check? How did the best lawyers in the country with the top investigators in the country miss this?
That's a good question. And I'll tell you, that settlement with Fox, which nobody has ever seen, by the way, the details. And I don't think there's any record that actually $800 million was actually transferred. That whole amount is very sketchy because it is so many multiples of what Dominion is worth in terms of its enterprise value. The settlement made no sense, really, from an economic or legal standpoint. The damages just didn't justify that amount. And again, nobody has seen that.
Hang on. It's not a private settlement. Yeah. They're a publicly traded company. Are you asserting right here you think they misled shareholders by lying to shareholders about the settlement? They're a publicly traded company. How can you say that?
What I'm saying is that when you look at it, it doesn't make sense. It never did. The amount of that settlement does not make sense. But what it did do is scare the bejesus out of people thinking, oh my God, $800 million that Fox paid, there must be nothing to any of these allegations. Why would Fox pay so much money if these were credible allegations? So it certainly did create that narrative. But this evidence that we put forward is solid. And I think that Fox's attorneys and Fox, they should be asked the question, why didn't you bring this evidence to light or why didn't you uncover it?
Well, I'm sure there's shareholders that are quite interested in that. If you're saying, if your evidence is true, then the question gets to be both at Newsmax and others, why didn't your lawyers find this?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate question that shareholders should pose.
Now, I understand why, you know, in Arizona with the Katie Hobbs and her regime, and why the Justice Department not looking this, have you taken this evidence to any, because there's 20 or 30 red states with red state attorney generals and red state secretaries of state that have machines, or even the county supervisors. Have you taken this evidence to anybody? And has anybody grabbed on this and said, this is amazing, let me go check this out, and then use it to get rid of the machines?
Well, this evidence just came to our attention in a matter of, I mean, the declarations were finalized last week. So we do plan on a letter to the EAC in terms of a call to action. I know that your audience is very active. The House Admin Committee has oversight over the EAC. I would suggest that your audience make some phone calls and push the House Admin Committee to look into this and to investigate and look at the evidence. It's right there up on the website. It's on the Supreme Court's website. This is expert evidence by qualified individuals with actual screenshots of the log files and database tables that underpin it. And so, yes, we do plan
Have you gone to the companies themselves? I mean, have you gone to Dominion and say, hey, look, this is what we found. Can you answer this?
No, not yet. But the response to our motion for expedited consideration is going to be due in 10 days, which is falls on a Saturday. So it'd be April 1st, Monday. We'll have a response from Maricopa County and the Arizona Secretary of State as to what we put in this brief and to the evidence that we put forward. I look forward to it.
But they're not for, hold on, but somebody's got to sign off on the expedite, right? That's in case they sign the expedite. Other than that, Maricopa County has no obligation to answer any of this, do they? As it stands right now.
If they don't file an opposition or a response to our motion for expedited consideration, then it will go straight to conference, and it's basically conceded in terms of that expedited consideration is warranted.
Okay, and then what's the process at the Supreme Court? I know you filed, and this was for expedited consideration. Just walk us through what the process is there.
Well, basically, all the clerks will get together and review, and they'll do a memo on the petition and then our motion for expedited consideration, and that will be presented. It's when it's done, it's on a Wednesday, I believe. And so we're looking at probably the earliest that it could go to the court would be, I believe, April 12th, because the from the petition, there's 30 days for the defendants to respond to the petition, which was filed on March 14th. And they can waive that, or they could file a response or seek an extension, but we would oppose an extension. There's basically a number of ways that this could go.
Do you think, what do you put the odds of the Supreme Court, because they've gone out of their way not to take up any of these cases about the election fraud or, you know, stealing the election, except now they're forced to with President Trump on these validations. What do you put, we got 30 seconds, what do you put the odds that the Supreme Court takes this up?
I think the Supreme Court absolutely should take this up, because this will have a dramatic impact on 2024. And that's the point. We're not asking in this case for them to rule on the merits. What we're asking is that they take the case, rule on standing, send it back expeditiously to the district court, where we will move immediately for an injunction, and then follow on the merits from that level. This is a very easy case, I think, for the Supreme Court to take and decide, because it is on standing, but the issues involved will affect the country nationwide, because you just can't have this type of insecurity existing in the voting machine system going into 2024.
Kurt, hang on for one second. I'm just holding you through the break, so I want to make sure everybody gets all of the touch points. They can go and get all the information here. It's that important. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Make sure you go today. Get the end of the dollar empire, baby. Short break. Now that we are launching into the general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a very special offer. Just in case you haven't made the switch to Patriot Mobile today. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service. That's a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need to do is stop procrastinating and go to PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon, and use the offer code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon, and use the offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the progressive left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message, just like you all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. The Patriot Mobile team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Remember, Patriot Mobile has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Get your free month of service and get it today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. For the free month of service, put in the code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. SPRING24. When you make the switch, you get the free month. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Action, action, action.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, I told you we had a lot to get through today. Okay. Kurt, and there's a lot of information. Now, the Android, I think, servers did crash. Grace is on that for the Bill Blaster. And we're going to give you not just talking points, but other information. We want you loaded up when you go to your congressman today, the members of the House. So we're working all that right now. Kurt, I want people to immerse themselves in this also. I'm not a machine guy, but I will say this. Mike Lindell's crusade on this has brought me to an understanding that something's not right here because these machines are way too complicated for what you actually need. So what you guys are doing is the Lord's work, laboring in the vineyard on this. I'm a mail-in ballot and bad voter rolls the old-fashioned way. But your information here to me is so shocking in that how many smart people were out there that were being paid for people that were being against and Dominion's got great lawyers too. So you had the battle of all these white shoe law firms, and I just don't see how this came up and nobody's seen it. So that's why I want the audience to immerse yourselves in information. And plus, this directly goes back to ground zero of the 2020, if you guys are correct, back to Maricopa County. And people should understand, Michigan is central for Biden, Arizona is central for Trump. And we got to get to the bottom of this thing. And you've put out some very compelling information, although I'm not an expert, but I want the audience to have full access to it. So where do they go?
It's posted on the website www.state-of-denial.com that actually hosts the movie that we put out in December about what goes on in Arizona elections, and in particular on the 2022 election there, which is free and streaming. I encourage everybody to watch it. I think they'll find it very interesting. But you can see posted on the website both filings, the motion, the petition, and what's called the appendix to the motion for expedited consideration. That has the three expert declarations for anybody to view. And I really, because those expert declarations, they include screenshots from inside the machines. The machines don't lie. And so you'll see a screenshot in there where the machine says, "Warn, wrong MBS, expecting this version." And these are, you know, the machine saying something's not right here. And that was actually the first clue where we followed this down, and the whole thing is starting to unravel. They used altered software, which is not EAC approved. And that software was altered with respect to what are called machine behavior settings that go directly to how ballots are tabulated and counted. Begs the question, both in 2020 in 2020.
Yeah, in 2020. Okay, I want people to go and start to get smarter on this. We'll have you back on, and some of the experts gave affidavits to explain to people like myself that are not exactly technologists. Do you believe in your filing that it implies that crimes were committed by election officials?
Well, it is a violation of Arizona law to knowingly alter software.
Okay. Yes, that's the answer. Kurt Olson, do you have a personal social media that people can follow you?
I'm on Truth Social under my name. I've been told I need to get a Twitter account as well, but I haven't done that yet.
I don't know. Truth Social is pretty good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We start with Don Jr. in The Tale of Two Cities. Letitia James, it's how the Democrats play. They don't play by the rules. They make up their own rules. They're trying to take President Trump's, I hope you guys are following this, they're trying to take President Trump's entire business empire. And they're making progress. And they're just tossing aside every law in the books. This is why I think New York City is going to see an exodus of companies and an exodus of individuals that are financiers and entrepreneurs. Let's play the Imperial Capital yesterday. My problem with what happened at the impeachment hearing is that this is dead serious. Biden sold his country out for cash. And yesterday, the Republicans, a handful of them stepped up and were magnificent. But overall, it was just not up to snuff. Let's play. Natalie's put together a cold open for us. Let's play that. We'll bring in Natalie.
This message doesn't call Zhang Chairman Zhang, does it? It just says the Chinese want to do business with the Bidens. As a matter of fact, it says both coming to be my partner, to be partners with the Bidens, with an S. He, Zhang, is implied, has implied that the number one has made it clear and available to him. Who is the number one?
The number one is Xi Jinping.
Xi Jinping, the president of China? Yes or no? The leader of the Communist Party, the CCP?
Yes.
Is the number one?
Yes, that's the number one that Hunter was referencing in that message.
Now, let's be very clear. This was in 2017, but I would like to make it known for this committee that Joe Biden told the press in 2016, as a matter of fact, I quote, "Yeah, I am. I am going to run in 2020. He told the press in 2016 that he was running for president of the United States in 2020. So here is the Bidens doing business in China in 2017 when everybody knew he was planning to be president of the United States. Do you see that to be a serious problem, Mr. Bobulinski?
I do, and I wish this committee would thoroughly investigate it and focus on all the evidence that the SDNY has on CFC. They had FISA warrants, so they were recording conversations, and I wish they disclosed all that data and fact to this committee.
So Comer does one of these roll call votes. The other thing that was interesting, by the way, is that Democrats had almost full attendance. They were all there through the whole hearing.
Yeah.
Republicans were going in and out. There was very few Republicans in the room throughout the hearing. They would come to do their questioning and then they would leave. So when Raskin called that up for a vote, there was almost no Republicans even in the room. And so he does a voice vote, you know, all in favor. And the Democrats are all, yay, you know, really loud. Republicans, it was almost silence. And he goes, it doesn't pass. So I think Raskin just let it go, you know.
Let's make the point, because this hearing is a perfect example of how Republicans are operating. That it's all performative. It's all political theater.
Political theater and performative. Okay, Natalie Winters is going to join us after a short commercial break to go through this. But, you know, you had some heroes yesterday. You had Donalds, you had Gates, you had MTG, you had a few others. But one that tells is when they impeached Trump, they were in the room the entire time. They took it very seriously. They passed the impeachment. This is how Nancy Pelosi rolls. It's called a close-run thing, the Brits call it. Not this shaggy dog shambolic of Comer. I mean, he sold his country out for money, Joe Biden did. And the Republicans in the House are not going to hold him accountable. HomeTitleLock.com. Don't let anybody get into your title and take out a second mortgage unbeknownst to you. HomeTitleLock.com. Go there today. Immerse yourself in information. 90-second break. Back in a moment. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse. That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.